Blog Talk Radio.
It was a game a handful of spectators came to see. A tug of war, 22 named.
Hey! Hey! This is 478 Cross, halfback Cross.
Baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
That's part of life. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff. You find out life's a game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us.
Hell yeah.
They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch.
Yeah.
We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
And that's my cue to kick off this episode of the NFL Recap Show here live Tuesday nights, 7 to 8 here on the Hard Rocket Sport Network. And Dice, welcome to NFL Recap for week number 9 of the NFL, otherwise known as the Giants didn't lose. Yes, I'm being a little facetious. Yes, I'm being a little sarcastic with that one. But that's right, folks. This is one week where show host Jeff Tolwetsky cannot get on me for a bad Giants football game. That's right, folks. We did not lose. But there's a lot of great stuff in the NFL this week. And we're going to get to as much of it as we can. I'm going to tell you that this NFL season is, again, one of the most weird. God, you can't predict anything. One week, there's certain teams you think are the best team. And the next week, you're not so sure. Teams that I thought were done, like the Falcons, I don't think are done. We'll figure out who's what divisions are the top. I think they're in the NFC this year. There's two NFC divisions that I would probably say are the best in football. We'll get to that. We're going to talk a little Jets, a little bit of Giants. There's not much Giants to talk about this week. We'll talk about so much. Jeff's got a whole itinerary. We'll get him on in a second. First off, guys, I want to remind you that this episode and all episodes of the Hard Rockin' Sports NFL Recap Show is brought to you by our dear friends up at RFL Records. RFL Records, the record label at the forefront of the hard rock and metal industry, with bands like Lipsey, After the Fall, The Black Knots, Hydrogen, Jeff Westlake, Fear, who, by the way, will be on this week, our good friend Patrick Mullock, Thursday night for the flagship show. Patrick Mullock from Fear will be on and will debut their new single. But with all those bands, RFL Records is the place to be to find great music. You know, when you guys ask me that, every time I get the same question. Tom, why aren't there any great new bands? Well, there are. Go to rflrecords.com and find out where and find out who they are. And listen, guys, and get out there. And make sure you support all of our sponsors. Jay Giacio, Mode Music, of course, RFL Records, and of course, the newest one, Earth 3, guitar straps and accessories. Check out Earth, spell out the word 3.com. Earth 3, our newest sponsor for all celebrity interviews. And remember, guys, I want to say thank you. There's actually another restaurant that wants to get involved with the start with the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. So plenty of new and great things coming up at the end of this year and for the start of 2019. Again, let's get to Thursday night. We have the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, 6:30 to 9:30. We have Patrick Mullock from Fear calling in, our good friend. Tomorrow night, don't forget, Pass the Mic with Mike Passamonte and Carl Graham on the Hard Rockin' Sports Channel, 6 to 8. Carl and Mike do a spectacular job. And you guys, really, I mean, they cover all sports, basketball, hockey, football, baseball. They talk betting. They talk fantasy. They mix in a little boxing, golf, MMA. I guess they get it all. And they really are good at it. It shows 2 hours plus every week. And if you guys get the chance, 347-826-9934 is the number you call in tomorrow night from 6 to 8. Check out Mike and Carl. Also, don't forget that this episode and all episodes of all three shows show up on Spotify.com a couple hours after recording. You can go back and find all 260-something episodes of the Hard Rockin' Sports Channel on there as well. I think it's a kick. It's great. So, guys, plenty to get to tonight, but I can't kick the show off without getting my partner in crime, the host of the show. So, guys, let's welcome on the host of the NFL Recap Show and the co-host of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show on Thursday nights, the one and only Jeff Tomlinski. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, Tom? Let's just come right out of the gate and start, huh?
Well, wait, I got to ask you, Jeff, did you get out and vote? That's all I got to ask you. Did you get out and vote?
Yes, I did.
Now, Jeff, yes, real fast, because it is a special night. It is a special night, so I'm going to ask the question. I'm not asking you to tell us who you voted for. I'm not asking for what affiliation you voted for. Just curious, are you a guy who votes along party lines? Are you a guy who just flips a bunch of buttons, or are you a guy who will vote for different candidates from different parties based on what you know?
Well, I'll put it this way. I can't have Cuomo as my governor. So I had to do what I had to do to make sure that he ain't going to be there this year. So that being said, you know, I tend to vote how I feel who will do the best. I think anybody that's going to sit there and tell you that, oh, I vote this way or that way because that's how it is, I think they're really not doing themselves justice, so to speak. I think you got to listen to what the candidates say and take that into consideration whenever you make a vote.
I agree with you. I've voted Democrat, Republican, presidents, Congress, Senate. Again, each candidate separate, but I will tell you, my own personal, since the Kavanaugh hearings, I would prefer not to vote than ever vote for a Democrat until I find more or find one that I could trust. So I went and I voted strictly Republican. So I'll raise my hand and say when somebody says who's the knucklehead who just basically voted for a guy who no matter what, that was me. I cannot vote Democrat because of the Kavanaugh hearings. But that's a whole different topic conversation for maybe a fourth night when we do the politics show.
It is, but you want to know something, Tom? I agree with you. I hear you. And there's a lot of underhanded shit going on in today's politics. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it seems to point to the Democratic side, which I don't understand. It seems like this all came to light like 2 years ago. But my question is this. You know, people have to realize that if you're on the right or the left, I firmly believe the answer lies closer to the middle. And that until these people sit in a room and talk to one another, mm-hmm. instead of trying to outdo one another, that mm-hmm. me and you and anybody else that's really listening to this show right now are the yep. ones that are going to pay the price for that. So until these people who are leading the country on any mm-hmm. level sit down and figure it out like adults, it just trickles down and it gets to us, and we're the ones that are getting sprayed by it, so to speak. So
I would agree with that.
It is what it is.
I would agree with that. I say, you know, anybody should be betting with their eyes wide open and take into all counts everything, including how well things are going. But, Jeff, speaking of how well things are going, let's get to some NFL football. The season is at the midway point. We've had some great shows, and I'm expecting another good one from you tonight. So, Jeff, it's all yours.
Well, Tom, I heard you in your monologue in the beginning, which sometimes I wish that I had a mute button so I could jump in at certain points. When you said that I wasn't going to say anything about the Giants, well, that's wrong. A week can't go by. Whether these people are playing or not, something has to be said about the New York Giants.
All right, well, it's
mostly
your show.
Mostly because you said that I wasn't going to say anything about the Giants, so I have to find something to say.
Well, that's how it usually works, right? By the way, guys, just for the record, one last thing before we get right into this. Friday night, Jeff, myself, and our dear friend Paul Gill will be going to a little wrestling event in Staten Island. If anybody's on Staten Island Friday night and want to get together for a beer or go see some old school wrestling, hit me and Jeff up. We're going to be on Staten Island on a Friday night. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man. It'll be something, three fat middle-aged men going to watch some bad wrestling in a gymnasium someplace. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm so looking forward to Friday night. So, come on, Jeff, let's get to some football. Let's have a little fun. And let's kick off week number nine. Let's put week number nine past us and move on. So, go ahead, Jeff. Take it away.
Okay. All right. The Giants. All right.
Okay.
As we all know, for some reason, this week they did not lose. Okay?
Yes.
A miracle? Sure. I don't know. But I even think that when not playing, they still lost on some levels.
That's how
you feel that?
Well, I'll say this. I don't think it's been – I think there was a little bit of loss in his why. They've had a little controversy. Their backup quarterback, who a lot of people were looking to have start, had some legal issues. So I think that's something that's helped them lose this week a little bit. So maybe that's what you're talking about.
Well, I tend to look at it as, you know, any momentum that they possibly could have had
mm-hmm.
in their last couple of games would maybe carry over. But there's also another kind of momentum that I think can affect them. And that was the coach not really giving Eli a clear seal of approval and that his job is safe and that he's going to be quarterbacking the Giants for the rest of the season.
Correct. Yep.
I think that gives Eli an extra week. I'm sure that, you know, they know, but just an extra week to think, you know, am I the quarterback of this team? I want to play next year, but am I going to be the quarterback of this team? Am I going to finish my career here? Am I going to be forced to retire? And I think that kind of thinking may be bad for him where he may start thinking about it, and it may start to rattle his game a little bit. You know, like I said, without getting the vote of confidence, and on the bye week, no less,
mm-hmm.
do you feel as though and think that this is going to carry on and affect his play when they do come back?
No. No, I don't think it'll affect his play. I did think that, not that it was odd. I thought that, you know, it was if you're Eli, it's tough. You go into the bye, you got a week and change off, and you have no idea when you come out, if you're the starting quarterback, how much longer you're going to play, you know, how, you know, what the end of this season is going to bring you in the last 8 weeks of your season. So I thought it was a little rough. If I was Shurmur, I would handle it completely different. You know, I just would have been no comment. Or at this moment, Eli's our quarterback and left it alone. So, but I can understand it on each level. I really can.
Well, I think a no comment would have been just as bad, if not worse, than the comment of, you know, not giving the vote of confidence simply because it makes him think, because the papers, I don't read the papers about the Giants. I look online and everything and look up Jet articles, and there hasn't been much in the way of articles for the Giants the last couple of days anyway.
No, not much.
From what I can see. But it makes you wonder, like, Eli, what is he thinking? What's going through his mind? You know, he knows that the end of his career is coming up anyway. You know, he's going to be a little older, and nobody wants their career to go out the window like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just something that you got to wonder if it's going to stick in the back of his mind and how he's going to play. And, I mean, it really can't affect his play any more than what the offensive line is affecting his play.
That's
I'll
true.
Say that much.
Yeah, I would agree.
But nonetheless, you just don't know. You don't need a quarterback in that situation to have any doubts or reservations about what way is his season's going to go from here on in. But when you're 1-7, 1-8 at the bye, and it's in the middle of the season, you know, you still got, you're halfway through, but you still got a lot of time left to think and to prove yourself or to destroy yourself. So
very
I'm
true.
Just curious to see how he comes out in the second half.
I think if you're the Giants, if you're players on the New York Giants, you know, the second half of the season is not only about getting this team better and that you're also out there to prove that you can still play in this league, that you can play on this team. You know, there are certain guys who don't have any issues, guys like Barkley and Odell. They're going to be Giants next year. Short of that, there's a lot of guys, Jeff, playing for a roster spot, not only Giants, but in the league. You know, there's not a lot of teams going to be, you know, hunkering down or hankering for, you know, a backup offensive lineman of the New York Giants who are, you know, 3-13. So I think people are going to go out there and if not play for pride, certainly play for employment.
Yeah, that is a good story, man, right there, because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there's definitely going to be some roster changes on that team. There has to be.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
100%.
Anybody's going to know that. So
yeah.
A lot of these people, a lot of these players are going to be playing for a position on that team or another team to show people around the league that they're still a viable player. Listen, a 1-7 team could be dangerous. They got nothing to lose. They could try anything at any given time.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%.
You know, but with the issues that they've been facing so far this year, I don't really think that it's going to be much of a problem. If I was on a team and I was going to play the Giants, I don't think I'd be too concerned, because I believe their next game is against the Niners, right, on Monday night?
Monday night against the Niners. That is correct, Jeffrey. You are on the money as always.
Okay, so you got to think the Niners have the same record, but the Niners also faced a lot of injuries. To the best of my knowledge, the Giants didn't have that many injuries. The Niners are on their third quarterback for the season already.
Again, I agree. I don't. You know, listen. You know, if you're the NFL, you know, you. I didn't see last night's game at all, so I don't know how good that game is. Last Thursday night, you had a very bad Thursday night game with the Niners playing the Raiders. Yeah, but this Monday night game coming up is nobody's promoting this one. This is one of those, if you're going to miss a Monday night game, this is the one to miss. So we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, I'm going to watch it because I'm a Giant fan and I got no choice. So I will be there watching.
Well, you enjoy that. I'm sure it's going to be about as fun as eating spinach flavored ice cream, but. You know, as a Giant fan, as a Jet fan, I know where you're coming from. I've been there, but there's just something, I don't want to say historically bad, but this team could be historically bad by the time it's all said and done.
I would agree with that, Jeff. It's very possible that this could be one of the worst Giant teams of all time. I won't argue it. You know, I don't know if at some point, you know, the Giants, I don't think the Giants are a team that would ever think about tanking it. You know, I think if they do anything, the one move they're going to make, I think there's two moves you can make. One would be to play the kid at quarterback at some point. And the other thing is to get Barkley off the field. Now, the kid's on pace for a little over 1,000 yards rushing. I think it's 9 or 10 rushing touchdowns, another 800 yards of receiving, and I think 4 or 5 receiving touchdowns. To your point that we had last week and the week before, you know, at some point you got to make sure you don't get hurt for next year.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if they make that move because a couple of guys have gone down so far this year. And speaking of guys going down, that could go right to the Redskins, who were on top of the NFC East and lost two starting offensive linemen. Is there a shift of power now in the NFC East? And if so, who's going to overtake them?
Well, you know, they lost Brandon Scherff and they lost Sean LaVeo. They also lost one of their receivers, Paul Richardson. You know, Jeff, it's an interesting take. The Cowboys look dead in the water. If you watch the highlights from that game, the Cowboys need to be blown up. Now, there's still a lot of talent on that offensive line. It's not as good as it was before. You still have Zeke. But that Cowboy team, that coaching staff, You know, maybe Thursday or next week we'll kind of sit down and start looking at coaching staffs that are on the hot seat. That's one. That's a team that is underachieved for years, has not gotten any better. So I don't know, Jeff. You know, the Giants aren't going to get there. I guess that with the Redskins right now, if they slip because of these injuries, the team that benefits is the Eagles. The Eagles are not a great team, but they may win this division and get hot late in the year.
It's possible. It is possible. Somebody is going to have to win that division without a doubt. We know that the Giants are definitely out of it. But, you know, it would be nice. Not nice, but I'm just curious to see what Washington does with the problem with their offensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Scherff ain't going anyplace. He's been a high pick and a mainstay for many years. So you just wonder, where are they going to get replacements? Are they on that team? Are they going after somebody else that was released or a free agent or something? And if they do, when they pick up a quality guy that's not on a team right now, it makes you wonder what the Giants could have done to change or turn things around a little bit.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Jeff, look, I mean, Washington at 5-3 is not a great team. They're a good team. Eagles at 4-4, you know, maybe they'll turn it around. You know, this realistically, I mean, this is probably a division that gets won. Who gets to 9 games? Can anybody in this division get to 9 wins? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I hear you. It's amazing, but you got to wonder, even if one of these teams do get to 9 wins, are they going to be a dangerous team? Somebody's going to make the playoffs out of that division. I don't think you're going to get a wild card out of it, but you're going to get a division winner, of course. Is that division winner going to be a dangerous team come playoff time?
Well, I would tell you this. The only team in that division that I would classify that way would be the Eagles, and I don't think the Eagles are a scary team this year. I think they're hurting at receiver. I don't think their offensive line's any good. You know, I think this is basically a placeholder. You know, this is the true extent of, you know, somebody's got to win it. I mean, and – you know, this division will be the weak team. You know, there'll probably be better wild card teams coming out than this division winner.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah,
unless Philly goes on a complete tear and wins 7 of 8 or 8 of 8. You know, I don't think any one of these teams coming out of division are really gonna scare anybody.
No, not at all, Jeff. Not in the slightest bit. You know, I Dallas loses last night, and well, I want to get to their quarterback on this deck, but you know, Dallas gets crushed, 28-14. They show no signs of life, and they make Marcus Mariota look like a Heisman Trophy winner again. You know, what's your thoughts on Marcus Mariota?
Well, you know, we were going to talk about Marcus Mariota and the Titans have a decision to make on him, if they're going to re-sign him or what they're going to do. So it's kind of hard to say and envision what may happen. But, you know, his play has been up and down all year long. So I don't know if the coaching staff is going to stay. Are they going to want to invest money in somebody that's really not proven that they're going to play? His play has dropped the last couple of seasons. So they have a hard decision to make, the Titans, on what they're going to do. It's going to be curious because he's going to command money if he stays with the Titans. I think if they release him, I think that somebody else will pick him up without a doubt and get him cheaper. But if he stays with the Titans, this guy's going to look to get paid.
Well, Jeff, I mean, you look at his stats. I mean, he's his fourth year in the league. His high water mark, 15 games the last 2 years, 3,400, 3,200 yards. I mean, in an age of the NFL where even an average quarterback is over 4,000 yards, you know, there's a severe drop-off. Now, he did have 26 touchdowns 2 years ago. Last year, only 13, with going along with 15 interceptions. This year, Jeff, he's 8 games in. So halfway into the season, he started 7 games. He's thrown for 1,200 yards. Not great.
No, not definitely not great for somebody that's in a contract year.
Yeah, so let's look at it from both ways. If you're Marcus Mariota, you're probably worth more to your own team than anybody else because, you know, you don't show it. But if you're the Titans, I would guess that this would be the year that you're going to make that decision, no?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, if not, they're in the hunt for a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
both quarterbacks out of that class, Mariota and Winston, neither one of them has really established themselves as a high quality player with their team. So you got to wonder, are both those teams going to be looking for somebody?
I would say yes. I can't imagine. I mean, Winston's been bad. He's had off the field issues with the team. I can't imagine either team going in their pocket for a long-term deal for either one of these quarterbacks. Now, are they worth more outside to somebody else? I couldn't say. Are there teams out there that can use a quarterback? Yes. I have not been impressed with either one of these guys. I would say of the two, Winston's probably been the better quarterback. But if you're Jameis Winston and you're getting outplayed by Ryan Tragic, there's a serious issue in your career.
Yeah, definitely. But I gotta ask, is it a scheme problem? Is it just the overall performance of a player problem? What do you think with these guys?
That's a great question, Jeff. I don't know. I mean, Mariota's on to another coach this year and a different system. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I'm not sharp enough to tell you. I will tell you that I have not been impressed. You know, if you go back to their careers, it's not all like all of a sudden this year Marcus Mariota's fell off. So, you know, here's a guy throwing in a pass-happy league for a guy who was throwing for record numbers up in Oregon. You know, this is a guy who's barely getting 3,000 yards a year. You know, in the NFL, you're averaging 200 yards a game. Then half the season have numbers that are better than this guy's. So, no, I don't blame him on the system. I thought these guys were questionable quarterbacks coming out of college, and they haven't let me down yet.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah, no. So we'll see how it plays out. I think the more interesting one to me, I think it's a no-brainer. I think Mariota's gone. I think the question mark is going to be and Tampa. You know, I want to see how Tampa's going to play that at this point. So,
well, how either team plays and addresses those situations come the off season, I'm more curious to see if these guys don't get picked up, where are they going to go? You know what
well,
I mean?
Let me tell you something. Either one of those two guys could go to Buffalo tomorrow and start. I mean, Peterman may be the worst NFL quarterback I have ever watched actually playing a game.
But he's that bad? I didn't get a chance to see anything. I mean, I know that team itself is bad.
Yeah, no, Jeff. I mean, there are teams that need quarterbacks. I mean, we can probably look it up. I mean, Buffalo for sure needs a quarterback. Cleveland set. I'm trying to look at some other ones right now, top of my head. Denver needs a quarterback. Let's see. Green Bay, no, we're good there. Atlanta, Washington, Detroit. You know, that's two teams in my brain right now that are guaranteed don't have a quarterback. I mean, Dallas, you have to start digging in Dallas a little bit there. Baltimore's probably going to go to Lamar Jackson, but you know, there are probably four places that are going to need a quarterback change next year. Miami could possibly be another team that needs a quarterback change. Other than that, most teams are set. So, you know, I think that's going to be Jacksonville, maybe another team that could possibly need a quarterback change down there. So we got six teams right now. Can either one of those two teams be – can either one of these two guys be better than the quarterbacks that are out there? Let me ask you this question. I'll go quick, Jeff. Are either one of these two guys better than Dak Prescott?
Man, you know, it's hard to say because I know that there's problems with the coach up there in Dallas, and Jerry Jones was on ESPN. I didn't actually read the entire article, but I don't believe that he's in favor of firing a coach in midseason.
No, he's not. But I'm just talking about straight up talent-wise. Are these two guys better than Dak Prescott just as a football player? Forget about fired coaches. Just simple. Either one of these two guys, from what you've seen, better than Dak Prescott.
Well, I was saying, if it's a bad, a bad fit, it may have something to do with it. And somebody like Prescott, it may be unfair right now at this point in time to say that he's not a good quarterback. Hold on one second, Sharon.
Sure.
It may be unfair to label him that way simply because if he's playing in the wrong system, that's going to have a lot to do with his style of play and everything. But I do understand what you're saying. I agree with you. But are one of them better than Prescott? No. I think that I would keep Prescott simply because he's developed a rapport with some of the players that are there. Why are you going to bring in another quarterback that's iffy when you kind of already have one that's iffy?
Correct.
Just the one that you got.
All right, so there's one last spot. Could either one of these two guys start in Buffalo next year? I think that's
definitely
a pretty simple one. Okay. How about in Miami? Could either one of these two guys or both of these guys better than Tannehill?
I would take them over Tannehill, yes.
There's a spot. How about are they better than Case Keenum?
I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
I know you're not a Keenum guy.
I'm not, but I still Case Keenum was
I don't think that he is either one of them are, to tell you the truth.
I agree. I think Case Keenum at least went to an NFC Championship game last year. So, I mean, so there's something to be said for that. So, again, I think that those two guys – Could they both stay on their team? Sure. Could they both be somewhere new next year? I think that's an open possibility. I'm not a fan of either one, Jeff.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you.
But
well,
you know what?
Time will tell, and we'll find
there
out.
There are some other quarterback issues out there, Jeff. You know, we're talking about quarterbacks. I think Baltimore may be a place to talk about a little bit.
I don't know, man. I don't. You think that there's going to be I'm not going to say they wasted. They used that pick on Lamar Jackson. You think that they're not going to use him?
Well, here's the question: If you're Baltimore, Jeff, and you know you've gone 1, 2, 3, 4 years, including this year, with probably no playoff run. Okay, because right now they're 4-5. They've missed the playoffs the previous 3 years. okay? You've got one Super Bowl, two, you know, so what I'm getting at is there's a chance that John Harbaugh is on the hot seat. So if you're John Harbaugh and you're going to go down in a flame, what if your one chance is to put this kid in and turn it around? Even if you miss the playoffs, you could say, hey, the problem was my quarterback. I went to the young kid and look what I did. I won, you know, three out of four of my last games. I missed the playoffs, but I'll be better next year. Do you think there's a chance that John Harbaugh could try to do that just to save his job?
I think so. I think that he's going to do something, without a doubt, to save his job. I mean, he's been over there for a number of years. Maybe it is time for a change. I don't know. But I do think that somewhere along the line, you got to take into consideration the success that he did have with that team. You know, winning a Super Bowl, getting into the playoffs a number of years in a row.
I got
you know
it, Jeff,
I mean?
But it's been a while. I mean, if you look at it, if he misses this year, it's four straight. The year before that, in 2014, he lost to the Patriots in a divisional game and no playoff the year before. So you could be four out of the last one, two, three, four, five out of the last 6 years, no playoff appearances in a 10-year career. I mean, that's not good.
No, it's not good. It's not good at all.
Yeah,
but, you know, you just got to think that, you know, they didn't have much success before he got there. And everything that he did do for that team, I think, is going to buy him a little time. He's getting a little older. Maybe they're going to want to see what he can do with a younger quarterback. You just don't know.
I agree with that. But I think that's why I think there's a chance he's got to go to that quarterback now and show them something. I mean, you got 8 games left, or you got 7 games left at this point. I mean, Jeff, you finished 5-11, 8-8, 9-7. You know, it's not like he went 11-5 and missed the playoffs. Not like he went 12-4 and missed the playoffs. Here's a guy who has had more than 9 wins the last 4 years, and he's trending less than that this year. And, you know, I think the one chance he's got is to go to the kid and see if that sparks something and saves his job.
You know, I love the way that you say that. You know why?
Go ahead. Why?
Because we could go on to Spotify and
yep.
get your past comments when I said that the Giants should do that same exact thing. And you were like, well, you know, I think you still play Eli. He gives you the best chance to win. I would have him start next year unless who's going to be better. So, you know, what you're saying you wouldn't do with the Giants, you're saying Baltimore
Different.
Should do when actually they're having more success than the Giants.
Here's why. Here's why I wouldn't. Here's what the difference is. Baltimore drafted a kid in the first round as a quarterback, a kid who was a Heisman Trophy winner 2 years ago, a guy who a lot of people had going in the top 10 of quarterback in top 10 in the league and in the top five of the top three of quarterbacks. So there's a little difference in the sense that you're not sitting there with a number one pick on your bench behind Eli Manning. You've got a guy who's a number four pick out of Richmond. So it's a little different. I get your point, and it's a little hypocrisy. I mean, I agree, but it's a different guy in the sense of who's sitting behind there.
Yeah, I could understand your point. I can understand your point, but, you know, you Giant guys want to hold on to the past.
Oh, boy. Yeah, all the rings, all the trophies. You like to hold on to all of that.
Well, but what happened yesterday don't count. That's
everything
the great thing about the NFL, Tom. What happened yesterday don't count. There's always a new tomorrow.
That's true. That's the truth. I don't disagree with that, but you also don't forget what's in your past. So we keep reminding ourselves of the good days.
Listen, we could say that. We could use that analogy about all our lives, Tom. All our lives. We each made some major mistakes when we were younger. When you were great. Tom.
Hold on 1 second, Jeff. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry, Jeff. Had to deal with something. I'm sorry.
No,
repeat that last part.
I said we've all made some major mistakes in our lifetime. I'm sure you would agree with that, right?
I disagree more.
I don't need to mention names.
No, okay. I think we're good.
And with those mistakes, there was some decent times, good times, fun times, right?
Sure.
But we let them go. We buried them someplace. We don't think about them anymore because we got new bright futures, right?
I would agree with that.
Okay. So the same with those Super Bowls the Giants got, man. They're in the truck, packed away up in the attic. We don't need to mention them anymore.
Well, even though we don't have to, we certainly will remember the four Super Bowls won by the Big Blue. We will always remember them, even though we don't have to.
Even though we don't have to remember that Norwood's kick would have sealed a giant loss, and if Eli
would
had just gotten caught another second later or a second sooner, if that guy didn't catch the ball off his helmet.
Could've,
all of these different things could have altered history.
Should've, might've, didn't. Four rings. They don't have asterisks next to them. There's no. Well, they're a step below Super Bowls because it could have happened. The bottom line is, the Giants have four in the bank. Can't take them away. We can't dismiss them.
No, you're right, and they don't come with asterisks. Tom, I saw the rings. They don't come with asterisks. But you know
what?
Right. We have the internet and history to keep reminding us of what almost could have happened.
Remember that the team in blue has a history. The team in white and green with the funny-looking helmets, not so much. Not so much. But that's okay.
Funny-looking helmets.
So, guys, Hard Rock is what? 347-826-9934. The NFL recap show for week number 9 in the NFL, otherwise known as the Giants didn't lose. We're here from 7 to 8, which it never seems to end at 8 o'clock, and we're not trending that way tonight. And, of course, remember, tomorrow night, Pass the Mic with Carl Graham and Mike Passamonte from 6 to 8 right here on the Hard Rocket Sports channels. And remember, all episodes of the Hard Rocket Sports Show, Pass the Mic, and the NFL Recap are on Spotify.com under podcast. Please check them out, and please support. So, good, Jeff, what else is on your mind this week?
I like how whenever we start talking Giants, how all of a sudden a 3-minute commercial pops up.
First off, that was 30 seconds, and we got to do the commercials because that's how we let people know who we are.
It seemed like 3 minutes, but let's get on to the next subject.
Go ahead.
And this one also revolves around the Giants a little bit, because every subject that comes around could revolve around the Giants.
I see that.
This is something they're not. One of the top four teams in the NFL that are probably going to get the bye if the playoffs were to start today. Well, definitely would get the bye if they started today, and probably going to get the bye when the playoffs start in about 8-9 weeks. So let's talk about them, shall we?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, let's go to the NFC, where maybe there was a little shift in power when the Saints beat the Rams the other day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Rams were riding an 8-game streak, 7 games, and they won in a row, whatever it was.
Eight in a row.
Okay.
Yep.
And then here comes the Saints, and they burst that bubble. And now there's no undefeated teams left in the NFL. How do you think this is going to affect the Rams and the Saints? And where do you see them? Do you see them as the top two teams coming out of the NFC this year for the playoffs?
Well, you know what? I mean, right now, I would say the answer to that is yes. I don't think it's shifted too much. I mean, listen, I think New Orleans has gotten better and better each week, 7-1. They're a tough team at home. I mean, that's the bottom line. On the road, much tougher than I thought they would be. I still think there's some chinks in the armor. So we'll see how it plays out. I would say they're the two best teams, followed by probably Chicago. I'm going to say after those two teams would be the Panthers, and then probably the Bears and Vikings would be right there. I still think the Rams are the best team. They're the most talented team. I think that push comes to shove, that game's if the playoff game's in L.A., I would take L.A. over the Saints.
You know, I as of right now, I would have to say that. Also, I would agree with you. Simply because the home team always seems to get the nod in the NFL. yep. as far as being the favorite. But with the Saints, you know what? That's a team that could score a lot of points. They give up a lot of points. So that would be an interesting game.
Oh, yeah.
At any time of the season, a team like the Rams, that's an offensive powerhouse, versus another power offensive powerhouse in the Saints, it would just be a matter of what defense, to me, could hold in there the longest. And I think that the Saints defense is definitely one that could take it, could bend but not break. I don't know if the Rams have that.
Yeah, it's a good question. I like the Rams a little better defensively if they're healthy. The Saints, coming into the season, everybody thought their defense was going to be one of the top-tier defenses, and it didn't start out that way. And they have given up 219 points so far this year. But I will tell you that if this game was in New Orleans, I'd take the Saints. If the game's in L.A., I'd take the Rams. I think it's home field advantage in that game. I think it's strictly home field advantage. I think that's how close these two teams are.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, let's take the same conversation over to the
AFC.
AFC, and what do you think over there about that?
Well, I mean, listen, there's some teams playing really well now. The Texans have been on a roll. They've won six straight games. Pittsburgh's been on a roll, four wins in a row. Without Le'Veon Bell, some people would have said their best player or their second best player, depending on what you think of Antonio Brown. I think it's pretty clear at this point. It's New England and it's Kansas City. Kansas City's got 327 points, by far the most points in the AFC. I mean, not even close to second. Second would be 227 for the Steelers. No, I'm sorry, New England 270. So, I mean, there's a 50-point difference. The only thing I'll say in that one, Jeff, again, where's the game? If it's in Foxborough, I'm taking the Patriots. If it's in Kansas City, I'm taking the Chiefs closer. I could see New England going into Foxborough. Well, let me ask you a question. Can you see either one of those two teams going on the road and winning the game?
Sure, why not? Road games didn't seem to be much of a problem for the Chiefs. And until somebody completely knocks out and devastates the Patriots, you really can't take anything away from that team and Tom Brady.
I agree. Yeah.
So it is kind of hard to say. I think that would be an even playing field wherever the game is. Of course, each team would rather play at home. We already know that.
Yeah.
But I think that either one would feel comfortable playing that game just about anywhere.
I don't disagree. I just think, young quarterback. I think I can see Brady and that team going into Kansas City and winning. I just have a hard time thinking that kid and that team go into Foxborough and win. But I would not be surprised by either outcome. So, those are the two best teams. After that, I mean, Pittsburgh's been playing a hell of a lot better. Kansas City's still hanging in there, and of course the Chargers are another team that. 6-2, winning five straight. Those are your teams coming up from behind.
I got to be honest with you, dude. I'm not worried about the Chargers. The Chargers don't scare me. Throughout their history, the Chargers always seem to have a strong point. They start off strong, or they finish strong. So to me, I'm not too worried about the Chargers. I'm actually don't think they're going to be able to hang in there and do what they need to do. And, competitive for the rest of the year. You know, there's still a lot of time left.
Give me this then, Jeff.
I don't think they're going to be a competitor.
All right, so here's the four second-place teams in the – was it four? Hold on. Yeah. Here's the four second-place teams. They're all basically the same record. 4-4, 5-4, whatever. Here's the four second-place teams. Which of these two teams right now you're going to give the wild card to? You ready?
Go ahead.
Dolphins at 5-4, the Bengals at 5-3, the Titans at 4-4, or the Chargers at 6-2?
Well, right now, I could see the Chargers or the Bengals. I don't think Tennessee is going to hold off. I don't think Miami is for real. I don't like any of those other teams. I really don't. I think Cincinnati has been hanging tough for most of the year. And Kansas, as far as the Chargers go, I mean, a lot of people pick them to possibly even make it to the Super Bowl. But I just don't, you know, every year it seems to be the same thing with them. They either win 6-7 games in a row or they start off 0-4 and then they claw their way back.
Yes.
I just don't see them, you know, I don't see them hanging in there and finishing the job, so to speak.
Again, I'm not a huge, I've never been a huge fan of that team or that quarterback. So I would be, I would agree with you. Just, I don't think there's a lot of choices out there right now. I don't think that based on where everybody is right now, I would have to go Bengals and Chargers. I'm not a fan of Tennessee. I don't think Miami's got it. Maybe Baltimore could sneak in, but they're at 4-5. So we'll see.
Baltimore, I think, is starting to go on the decline. Unless they have a strong second half of their season, I don't think that they're going to factor into the playoff race at all. But listen,
no.
Lad, one year, just a couple years ago, we were like, there's going to be two wild cards out of the AFC West, and we couldn't have been more wrong. So you just never know what could happen as the season goes on.
Correct. Yeah. Again, listen, there's 8 games left. Anything's possible right now. You know, most teams have 8 games left, a couple teams with 7. This is so wide open. You know, Jeff, it won't take, you know, the Steelers ran off 6 straight wins. You know, there's a lot of teams that could run off 6 straight wins at the end of this and completely change the NFL landscape. A lot of teams are going to be tanking at this point. You know, so some of your better teams that are 4-4 and 5-3 could take off. You know, sometimes it's not who you play, but when you play them.
Yeah, it's very true. Very
you
true.
Know? So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting second half of the season, I think, at this point.
Yeah. Time will tell.
Yeah, that's 100% absolutely right, Jeff. I think time will tell, and I think give me a surprise team. You know, how about that? We're in the middle of all that. You got a surprise team? Somebody you think's going to come out of nowhere? Either division, one team.
Oh, man. You know what, Tom? This year is a bad year, I think, to pick surprise teams because a lot of these teams are hovering around the 500 mark. But I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to start to rebound. I think they're going to be a surprise team because a lot of these other teams that are on the cusp of something may not make it. A team like Jacksonville, I don't know if you want to say they're a surprise at 3-5.
Sure.
But, you know, they could be considered a surprise team because a lot of people thought that they were going to do a lot better.
Absolutely.
The Bears may be a surprise team. Because nobody may have picked them to do as good as they are doing.
Very true.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I think, to me, it's Atlanta. I think Atlanta has a chance to turn their season around. Let's see, they won 3 straight. They were 1-4. They're now 4-4. Atlanta's a team. And you know what, Jeff? Do you think that's the best division in football right now? The NFC South?
It's starting to shape up that way. You know, even the Buccaneers have been somewhat competitive in some of their games.
Yeah,
especially with Fitzpatrick in the beginning of the season, they've cooled off a little bit. But, you know, I don't think they're going to challenge for the division or get a wild card spot. But that was a team that was not picked by many to do anything. And, I mean, now they have the quarterback issue, and I guess it all depends on how hot Fitzpatrick could get. You know, if it's going to help that team or hurt that team. It depends on his play, especially now. It looks like he's going to be the starter for a while.
I would say, at that point, I think they have no choice but to play him pretty much full-time right now, don't you think?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, even Winston admitted that he's not the man for the job right now. So, I see no reason why they shouldn't go with Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, to me, that's the best division of football right now. I mean, I have a hard time going through. The NFC North has dwindled off. I mean, the Bears are a good team, not a great team. The Vikings are a decent team. Packers and Lions are below. The NFC East is terrible. NFC West is really one team in that. I mean, the only other division I can even put there might be the AFC North with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati and possibly Baltimore. But to me, the best division of football right now is the NFC South.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that fact. It really is that they're playing good. A lot of those teams are competitive. I think Carolina is flying under the radar right now because the focus is on the Saints and what they're doing, especially after their win against the Rams.
Right.
So I think that a lot of people aren't really focused on Carolina, but they're putting themselves together a good season. So I foresee them getting into the playoffs unless they have a major collapse. And not for nothing, even if they were to lose the rest of their games and go, 7-6-2 or something like that right now, Carolina?
6-2, I believe.
6-2. You know they're not going to lose the rest of their games, but even if they finished 8-8, at the way that the rest of the NFC is playing, they're probably going to get a wild card position. I don't see anybody else standing out enough to get a wild card.
I agree. I think they're no doubt. I think right now that's a team that's on the heels. I mean, like I said, 3 straight wins, and they've really dominated. So that's a team to watch in the second half. If they get hot, that's a tough team to beat. I love the kid McCaffrey, the running back. He really is a great player. He really is going to get turned into a really great player.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Okay, so
see what else we got, man. Let's talk about a retirement.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Chris Johnson announced to the world that he is retired from the NFL. You know what I find odd about that?
Go ahead. You might be the same thing I find odd with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, he has not been on a NFL roster or playing in a game since September of 2017.
Wow.
Now, how could he announce his retirement when he's not even playing? Wasn't he like into a forced retirement, wouldn't you say?
I agree. I mean, I guess you're just making it official. I mean, the guy is 33 years old. It's not like he's washed up that way. But, yeah, I mean, yes, I agree with you, Jeff. If you didn't play last year and you're not on the roster at the beginning of this year, I think it's pretty much you're retired. Whether you wanted to be retired or not, that's a different story.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if he had something else to offer the NFL, you'd be in the NFL. Not talking about your retirement. And I love when players, all of a sudden, you haven't heard from them in a while. And maybe it's a player whose name you hear once in a blue moon, but you kind of lose track of where they go in the league. Like, you know who was good for that to me? Remember Danny Woodhead?
Sure.
He was one of these guys that he was a hard player, played good, but he was on a couple different teams. And like, all of a sudden, it's like, look, he's popped up over here. He's playing over here now. Or, you know, it was always something that he just would pop in and out someplace. Chris Johnson didn't do that. So if Danny Woodhead announced his retirement, you might not even have realized that he was off a team. But Chris Johnson wasn't productive even when he was playing in 15 and 16, from what I remember.
Well, let's go back. I got the stats up here. You know, his last 4 years, Jeff, with the Jets, 16 games, 600 yards. 15 with Arizona. Again, let's see, 11 games, 800 yards. 16, let's see, 4 games, 25 yards. No, I'm sorry, 95 yards. His last 4 years, 663, 814, 95, and 114. To me, Chris Johnson hasn't played football since 2013 when he had 1,077 yards.
Yeah, and even that is, I mean, yes, it's a good season of over 1,000 yards, but when you barely crack the 1,000-yard barrier, you're not really saying, hey, look at me, I'm here to play, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's put this. He had one incredible year. 2009, led the league, 358 carries, 2,006 yards. His long was 91, average 125 yards a game. That's a season. That's a great season. Better than most people. Other than that, Jeff, 1,200 yards, 1,300 yards, 1,000 yards, 1,200 yards, and 1,000 yards. Not a world beater. This guy's not a Hall of Famer. I hope when the time comes, people are not making this guy out to be a Hall of Fame running back.
I think they said that he ranks 35th all time in the rushing list, on the rushing leaders list. And I think he had 55 touchdowns in his career. And so, I mean, really not numbers that are going to get you in the Hall of Fame. And I think that now. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying not even 10,000 yards rushing. I mean, there's guys like Tiki Barber, who's a better running back than this guy, more consistent. Otis Anderson had 11,000 yards rushing, had a better career than this guy. I don't want to hear that this guy's a Hall of Famer. Again, one tremendous season. They should retire his uniform from that season. Put his cleats in the Hall of Fame. There's no way in the world this guy's a Hall of Famer, Jeff, based on these numbers.
Well, let me ask you something, Tom. You just brought up a couple things that make me want to ask a question and see what you think. Do you think that in the days now of fantasy football and FanDuel and everything else, that people are going to start looking at these players as they retire and question their stats? So like a guy like Chris Johnson, even though he might have been a great player, had a lot of good games, maybe his stats, because of the league, of the time of fantasy football, people are going to be more aware of this guy's stats and say, you know what? He didn't have it. He wasn't a running back. He wasn't the running back that was leading the league. He had one or two good seasons. That was it. Other than that, he was an above-average back, but he wasn't awesome. He wasn't great. Do you think that because of fantasy football and sports betting, that more people are going to – the stats are going to be scrutinized more?
Sure. I think you have to. I think it's done anyway, Jeff. I think how we're reading the stats now, especially for running backs, has changed. You know, I think almost nowadays, it's weird, but I think 1,000 yards in a season for a back is pretty good because they don't run the ball as much. You know, I don't think 1,000-yard season is a great season. It's like 60 yards a game, 62 yards. To me, you got it. To me, for a season, you know, I want to see at least 75 or 80 yards a game, probably a little bit more as an average for your team. But I do think it's going to be looked at differently. Yeah, 100%. And I hope it's scrutinized even more because I think in the modern era, you can see every play of every game to see what a guy does, and you can also see what his stats are.
Well, you know, even if he was to average 80 yards a game, still not even breaking 1,300 yards, he'd still be at 1,280 if he averaged 80 yards a game rushing. So there would be times when the NFL would have several thousand-yard rushes in each division, each conference, I should say.
Yeah.
And 1,280 still wouldn't be leading the league or the conference.
No,
or
I agree.
You know, for the rushing title. So, yeah, it is kind of sad, but here's one other question to follow up with that, see what you think it is. Do you ever think that fantasy football and everything else will become a stat for these players somewhere down the line to help them get it to the Hall of Fame? So, like, in other words, we're talking about Chris Johnson. Say Chris Johnson was the most productive back for four or five seasons in a row, and he was helping people's fantasy teams all over the place. Most drafted running back at the first slot, you know, number one pick for God knows how many leagues, how many different teams. And he was just an incredible fantasy football figure. Is that ever going to become into play in the NFL somewhere down the line?
Wow, that is a great question, Jeff. I got to tell you, that is a really good question. The short answer is, I hope not. I hope that I never look up and it says how many, carries, yards for season, and average fantasy points for a year. Like, I hope that's never in a guy's bio. It's never when I look at profootballreference.com. So the stats that I look up every week, I pray to God that doesn't happen. But it's a great question, and it's not out of the ordinary that someone point down the line, because fantasy football is so huge, and this younger generation that's going to come up, they're all going to have that conversation. Because I guarantee you, Jeff, somewhere down the line, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, somebody who's 20 years younger than us, and when they're in a position of trying to figure out who's a Hall of Famer and who's not, that will come up. I guarantee it. I think that's a great question. I hope not.
I think that it's somewhere down the line, it is going to come up. Like you said, we might not be around to see it and to know about it, but I think that somewhere down the line, it's going to play a part, because somewhere there's a maniac that has figured out every play for certain quarterbacks and every game for certain quarterbacks, and could say that, you know, Tom Brady is the greatest of all time because he's averaged, 300 points a game, fantasy football points a game. And I think that somewhere down the line, it's going to be a stat. I really do. It's a hard to believe stat, but, and we might not be around to see it or even remember or know what's going on. But I think somewhere down the line, it's going to be a stat that's going to be mentioned because there's just too much money. It's too big. That's why when people were saying, I'm not watching football anymore because of the kneeling for the anthem, that's great. There's still too much. There's too much of a backstory. It's almost like wrestling. When they go out on the field, that's them going out in the ring. But the fantasy football is the storyline behind it all. And I think that's what keeps people interested in football.
You're 100% right. The build-up for the weekly game is huge because there are so many storylines. We can talk to today, and I can give you five or six really good storylines. You know, who's working out for whose team, you know, who made a big mistake this week, all that kind of good stuff. You know, who's on the hot seat. You know, I mean, Todd Bowles is probably coaching for his life at the end of it right now. So is probably Harbaugh and the guy in Dallas, are all probably coaching for their lives right now. So, yeah, at the end of the day, Jeff, you're right. The people's interest in the stories as much as the games carry the NFL. I agree. That's a great point.
You know, you brought up Todd Bowles. I wanted to bring something up about the Jets.
Sure.
And another horrific loss for them, two in a row to Miami.
My God. Horrendous.
Yeah. Okay, they didn't score a touchdown. But a big part of that, I don't want to say they were coming back, but they were playing and they knew that they had. It was a sense of urgency. They say Donald plays a little bit better on a short game like that he's got to, rush it a little bit. He seems to be poised enough to do that. And then you have your center, Spencer Long, with a broken finger or injured finger, long snapping all over the place. And I don't understand why they kept him out on the field. I don't understand why they kept Donald in the shotgun. Why they didn't have him move under center. If you wanted to use him as your center, why are you having a guy with nine fingers hiking the ball to a rookie quarterback when the game is on the line and you're actually moving the ball fluidly at that point in time, so to speak? They were not bad. And you leave this guy in there and he's hiking the ball all over the place. And I just don't understand Todd Bowles. I really do not understand him. I don't think that man knows offensive football. I really don't.
Yeah, no, Jeff, listen, here's the thing. I agree with that. I think the only way Todd Bowles could save his job is to agree to bring in a different offensive coordinator and have a better end of this year. I do believe that he will be gone. Here's why I think he's going to be gone, Jeff, because I think Donald has regressed dramatically the last 3 or 4 weeks, that I think ownership is going to get nervous that they need to bring in somebody to fix this kid before he turns into the next Sanchez. He really looked terrible Sunday. It was hard to watch. He made bad throw after bad throw. And, I'll never consider this kid a bust. He's a good quarterback. But right now, watching him quarterback, he looks lost, and nobody's able to find his way. And I think that's why Todd Bowles loses his job at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think that I think you're right, dude. And I hate to say it because they were showing continuity, and a lot of the younger players are going to say that they like Bowles. He didn't do a bad job. He kept the team competitive for a while. But it's some of the things that make you scratch your head and think and be like, why is this guy still in the game if he's playing the way he is? You know what I mean? I know they're thin at offensive line, on the old line, but you need to do something. You can't, when you still have a chance in the game, you can't have a guy that's going to hinder any part of the game going forward. And that's exactly what he was doing. As far as Bowles goes and Donald, not for nothing, but if you're drafting a quarterback that high, and the last couple times that the Jets did this, they had a defensive coach. Isn't it time to see that you had Mangini, Rex Ryan, Bowles, and a few others throughout the years, and it's not working. You need an offensive-minded coach. The Jets always seem to have a decent defense that could hold their own, but their offense is anemic at times. And I think that that's a big point this year. You know, you're not – it's very reminiscent of Sanchez, and it's very scary to think that if they blow this, God knows how many more years it could be before anything good comes of it.
Yeah, I think the one thing and remind me to ask you something about Granny Four Barrel after the show. Please, I got to ask you a question. But, you know, I think that at this point, if you're the Jets and you're going to make a coaching change and you don't go to an offensive-minded head coach, they should blow up the whole franchise because it would be scary. So I think that it's a question of, you know, I saw some names out there, Eric Bieniemy, Dan Campbell. You know, I didn't see any of the retreads of years past. I'm trying to find that article I read today. But the bottom line is they need to do something before they really damage this kid. I don't think his psyche is going to be a problem. Yeah, here's the names that I read today. Eric Bieniemy, the old running back, Dan Campbell, tight end, the old tight end, John DeFilippo, who was more of a special teams coach, Matt LaFleur.
Well, he was a quarterback's coach, I believe, with Philly,
Yes, with Philly. So, yes, again, the guy, you know, I think Todd Bowles has done nothing to keep his job so far. And up until this last few weeks, I would have said he's probably going to get another chance. But I think because of how bad Donald has looked, and yes, Jeff, he's got no running game. His offensive line is terrible. His receivers have been – and you called it before the season when Mike and I were praising the receiving corps. You said these guys don't stay in the field, and they haven't. And the guys who have stayed in the field have disappeared. They're going to make a change at coach to save this kid's career.
Well, you know, it's that would be the logical move. But then again, on the flip side, Tom, you got to think somebody's going to turn around and say, well, he had no running game. He had no receivers. All right, what is the quarterback going to do? Is he going to just take the ball out from center and run the ball himself? That can't happen. So without a running game, because Bilal Powell got hurt and it looks like his career is done, Crowell hasn't really done much. The receivers, they seem to take turns getting injured. They never had a big-time receiver for him to throw to. They just kind of had a bunch of B players, so to speak.
Right.
And I mean, what do you expect this kid to do on the other hand? And Bowles could only coach who's there. That's up to McCagnan to get those players. So, I mean, there is a chance that you're going to see Bowles with another year to try it next year, simply because when they sit down and they appraise him, they're going to think, well, you know, the receiving core was bad. We're going to have a lot of money this year. Donald, even though he's leading the league in interceptions, which I think he has 12 or 13 now, I believe, you know, he's the leader in the interceptions for the league. They were going against a few other guys and saying what they did in their rookie years and how they rebounded. But I think that a lot of people are putting too much on Donald and keep comparing him to other players and say, well, you know, he's young, this, that, and the other thing. Well, if he's young and he could play, then why are you – it seems as though that they're holding him back. Let this kid play. You have to let him play. That's all there is to it. And I don't see them doing that. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
the numbers are too Sanchez-like. They're too pedestrian-like. Let this kid throw – I don't care if you go out and throw 5 interceptions. I'm telling you, don't come back off this field unless you have 300 yards at the end of the game. Go figure out how to do it. You know, that's what they should tell him. Go out there and play. You're out on the street with your friends playing. Go out there and play. Go out and have a good time. Throw the ball. Let's see what you can do. Let's go out and have a little fun. You know,
While I agree with that, Jeff, I also think you have to surround the kid with enough talent that you don't set him backwards. And I think that's part of the problem is their offensive line is not good. Look at what Spencer Long and the guy how bad is the guy behind your center who's only got 9 fingers if you're not playing him? So, you know, that's part of the problem. He took a beating. And again, you don't want to get him hurt. You don't want to get him into a point where he starts to have bad habits based on anticipating bad snaps or anticipating things. You know, again, I think that there's going to have to be a big change. And yes, Jeff, it starts with McCagnan. He's got to do a much better job of surrounding this kid with talent. Now he's going to have the money to spend. Now you got to hope he spends it wisely.
I honestly and truly think, as much as I would like to see Bowles go at times, I think Bowles is back next year because he's going to have the money. McCagnan is going to have the money to go out and get some players, buy some players, so to speak. And I think that's what's going to end up happening. I think that they're going to try to get him some receivers or however they do it, through the draft, through free agency, whatever the case may be. But I mm-hmm. think that that's what's going to end up happening as far as Bowles goes. Every year we seem to say the same thing, that he'll get one more year. But I just think that that's the way it's going to be. I think he's going to have this year and next year, because of the money that they're going to have at free agency, and see what they can get him and what he could do with it. If he fails again, then I think he's gone. But I think he's going to get one more year after this.
I would be surprised, Jeff. Again, I think a lot of it's going to have to do with, you know, the team having a good finish. You know, if they stumble out and finish this thing rough, I don't think he comes back. I got to be honest with you. I would have agreed with you a couple weeks ago. Watching the last two games, I mean, you know, it's one thing to get your head handed to you by the Bears and the Vikings, two pretty good teams this year. But to go out and get embarrassed, put up no offense whatsoever. Now, the defense played pretty good. So his one thought would be his defense has gotten better, and he's a defensive coach. But your offense has got worse and worse and worse, and your franchise quarterback has really kind of regressed. And I think that's what's going to hurt him. But, yeah, three weeks in a row, Jeff, they have not looked good. And this was a four-game stretch. I thought they could have been 3-1. And right now they're 0-3 heading into the fourth game.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, another thing you got to keep in mind, too, is the owner keeps saying that there's no playoff mandate to keep your job. So that alone is scary to me, because they're not giving him something to achieve. You're not telling him, you know, listen, you won 5 games 2 years in a row. You got to win at least 7 games. You got to be in the playoff hunt till the final 4 games of the season at the very least. You got to show something. This team is all but out of it at this point in time. We know they're not going to win 7 in a row and go 10-6. But this team is all but out of it at this point in time. So,
oh, yeah.
As much as I agree with you, I just think that they're so laid back in their approach to doing things that they're going to give these two guys another year to do it. Now you got a quarterback. Now here's a ton of money. Go out and plug the holes. And I think that's what's going to happen.
All right, we'll see. I think a lot of it's going to be how they finish. But I think a big piece of this is if Donald regresses and keeps progressing, they're going to be afraid to leave this kid in his hands. But we'll see how it plays out, Jeff. It's this show, the season's getting long. And you got to start looking toward the end of the year and next year. So we'll see how it plays out. Guys, 8:20 here at Hard Rocket Sports. Got about another 10 minutes left of the show before we call it a night. But don't forget, tomorrow night, Pass the Mic with Mike Passamonte and Carl Graham, 6 to 8 here on the Hard Rocket Sports Network. Remember, Thursday night, the flagship, Hard Rocket Sports, 6 to 9:30 on Thursday night. This week, Jeff and I are welcoming back our good friend Patrick Mullock from the band Fear. Patrick's going to call in, talk a little bit about the upcoming new album, due out November 30th on RFO Records. And we're going to debut Fallen. It's a recut single for that album with the new guitar solos from the new guitar players. So check out Patrick and us Thursday night on the Hard Rocket Sports Network. Don't forget, the following week, we're going to have our good friend Jimbo Wallace from the Reverend Horton Heat will be joining Jeff and I on the 15th. Go ahead, Jeff. Let's go about another 10 minutes. And let's see what you got.
Yeah, you know what else I got, Tom, I want to talk about? I want to talk about the Cleveland Browns a little bit. Bruce Arians said that he would consider coaching the Browns. And that, matter of fact, that would be the only job that he would consider coaching. What is it that you think makes this team so appealing to a guy like Bruce Arians? And do you think that the Browns are a coach away from taking the next step, and especially with a young quarterback like Mayfield. Don't you think it would have been better to keep either Hugh Jackson or the offensive coordinator for the rest of the season and try to develop this kid a little bit more in one system instead of now spinning him around possibly completely? I don't know what kind of system they're running down there, but they're certainly not making life easy for him by changing, making a coaching change at the midpoint of the season.
I think this is a job. I think this is an up-and-coming team. I think with a good, I don't say veteran coach, a good, solid, offensive-minded head coach, this team is ready to take off next year. I think this will be the best team in the AFC North by far. I think Pittsburgh's going to be in for a drop after the season, and I don't like the Bengals. So I think it is a big job. Who gets it? I don't know. If a guy like John Harbaugh were to get fired, I could easily see him over there. A guy like that, Jeff. I think they can't go. They can't go for a unsure. You need a definite guy. Somebody. You can't take a chance on a guy. Like you can't have a a Ben McAdoo type of guy. You know, who's
I don't think anybody wants the Ben McAdoo type.
Yeah, I'm just saying you can't go with a guy like that. But Jeff, if you think about it, you have a quarterback. We all think they have a quarterback in place. They have a lot of number one and number two picks on that team. They've played really well this year. They just don't know how to win yet. That team's going to figure it out fast. So, yes, I do think a guy like Arians or Chuck Pagano or some of the other veteran coaches, somebody's going to take that job. But it should be an offensive coach to work with.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I really agree with you. I think that – that defense that they built, a monster defense with a lot of young players, once it gets going, I think it's going to be hard to stop. But because of the importance of the quarterback's situation and Mayfield being the number one pick, I think that he should be the priority and that they should try to find a coach that's going to get the most out of him that they possibly can. You know, we spoke about this a couple times in the past. He's playing in the AFC North, a rough division weather-wise. So, you know, you're going to want to get the most out of him possible. And, a bad part of the year, bad part of the season is coming up. This kid may face weather that he's not really used to, especially with snow and the cold in the AFC North. So, you know, you're going to want to make sure that this kid gets brought along at a decent clip and the right way, or else you're going to be going on to another quarterback somewhere in the near future.
I agree. I think you can't miss. I think you can't miss, Jeff. I think you're exactly right. You cannot miss with your next coach. I think that there's a lot to be said for making sure you wind up with a can't miss coach. And I think this team needs that. They've had a string of guys who just, Hugh Jackson failed in Oakland. This team needs, not for nothing, but the Giant coach failed there. A lot of guys have failed in Cleveland. So hopefully, I like Cleveland. I'm actually going to be a guy rooting for that team next year. I root for them now. I'm looking forward to seeing that team. I think Cleveland being good, the dog pound, the history. I would love to see the Cleveland Browns in the Super Bowl. I am really looking forward to that.
Well, let me ask you something, Tom. Is it that you want to see them in the Super Bowl, or is it because they've been bad for so long and they've had such high draft picks over the years and such – big name players that they've drafted, that it's almost like worth watching this team to see who's going to be the one that glues it together the right way, because nobody has been so far. And they've picked high in just about every draft since they've come back into the league. So it makes you wonder, a team that's won, four games or something, or three games in the last three seasons, somewhere along the line, when they do turn it around, It's going to be fascinating to watch, without a doubt.
Oh yeah, And listen, let me tell you something. There's a few teams that excite the NFL. I think the Cleveland Browns would be one of them. I don't know why. Maybe because they've been so bad for so long, like you said, Jeff. But I think it'll be a ton of fun to watch the Cleveland Browns go through a season winning 10 or 11 games, maybe get a couple years worth. And I think a playoff game You know, I'm trying to think of the Super Bowl that would be the most fun. I mean, wouldn't it be different? I mean, it might not be the greatest thought game, but wouldn't a great Super Bowl, because it's just two teams that never been there, the Detroit Lions against the Cleveland Browns. Wouldn't that be like a fun Super Bowl?
I was just thinking that. Yeah, I think it would. If you get any two teams at this point in time that have never been to the Super Bowl, I think it would be a big game. I think it would pay a lot of people would pay attention to it because you know that somebody's streak is going to come to an end. Two streaks actually come to an end. The teams that never made it to the Super Bowl and one of them that's finally going to get the first win, the first trophy. It's just a matter of you've got to hope that it's not a 6-3 game, that it's a snooze fest. But,
yeah.
You know, that's one thing you got to worry about. But if it was to happen in the next couple of years with a Matthew Stafford, you know that there's going to be a ton of yards passing, you know. So it could be a very interesting game to watch.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, Jeff, just for something different. Listen, I love that the Giants are in every few years. I love the Patriots, and they're in it all the time. And it's nice. It's, you know, but – you know, for me, I think it just would be an interesting Super Bowl to watch two teams, two fan bases who've never gotten there. I think the viewership. I mean, not that the Super Bowl needs any more help, but I think people would be fascinated just watching two teams who've never been there before. I mean, that's it. There's no history. There's no back in 1975 when there's no Super Bowl history. It's all, you know, this is just strictly a football game. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm rooting for a game like that.
I think the only game that would top that would be the Jets and the Giants in the Super Bowl. I think would be the only game that could top something like that as far as people's interest. I think any kind of New York Super Bowl, New York crosstown rivalry for a championship when the Mets and the Yankees made it, when the Rangers and Devils or the Islanders were good. A New York team always spices it up, but New York versus New York in a game like football would be a big thing. But I don't see that happening anytime soon, unfortunately for us. You know,
no.
On both sides of the ball there. But you're right.
No.
Cleveland and Detroit and, you know, some of these other teams that have never made it to the Super Bowl, I think it would make for a cool game. And it would definitely make for an interesting game, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, there's other teams that haven't made it. Jacksonville. But I don't think you're talking about two historic franchises. I mean, teams that go back to the beginning of time in the NFL who've never even played in a Super Bowl. I mean, that's the beauty of it. You know, most of the teams that aren't on that list are fairly new teams. You know, so, I mean, to get a chance to see Cleveland and Detroit, two old school teams, man, I'd sign up for that. That would be a Super Bowl game, Jeff, I'd actually want to go to. I've been to two games. I would go to that one, too. That would be a game I would go to.
It would be something different. But, you know, it would have to be like with Mayfield versus Stafford. And I think that would make for a good headline. And it would make for a good team. But, you know, chances are that's not going to happen either.
Nope. Not right away, Jeff. I think the problem is the Browns are on the way up. And I think the Lions are kind of on their way down, although I am encouraged a little bit, the way they played this year. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
You never know what could happen.
Okay. What else you got there, Jeff?
You never know. That's about it, dude.
Okay.
We could start to wrap this puppy up.
All right, guys. So we did another edition of the NFL Recap Show. I love doing this show. It's a lot of fun. It's a little bit of a script, but it's more of just some ideas jotted, and we just like to talk for an hour and a half, and I'm glad you guys listen in. I'll start the thank yous. I want to thank everybody who listened and chimed in on Facebook. I want to thank everybody down at Spotify for putting this show and all the episodes of our shows on Spotify.com every week. Big thanks to our sponsor, RFL Records. Check out RFLRecords.com. We were really very appreciative of everything that those guys up there do for us. Again, they're giving us the honor of debuting a single off one of their artist album this Thursday night when Patrick Mullock, the lead singer from Fear, joins Jeff and I. And Patrick's a good guy. He's been a good friend to the show. Called in for my birthday last year, Jeff, if I remember correctly, my 50th. Patrick called in. That was really good of him.
Yes, it was a surprise. You weren't supposed to know.
I didn't know, and it was always good to see. Always good to hear from Patrick, and again, signed up with RFO Records, so we're looking forward to that. So make sure you check out the Hard Rockin' Sports Show on Thursday night, 6:30 to 9:30, where Jeff and I bring you the biggest news, some information. We try to detain you on Thursday nights, and we bring you the biggest news in hard rock, heavy metal, of course, the world of sports. Wednesday nights is the Pass the Mic Show. We'll call in Mike, a great 2 hours plus of hard-hitting sports. And any, it could be anything, guys. And these guys, they do a tremendous job. So it's better than a lot of guys who will run around on terrestrial radio. I can promise you that. And, of course, the NFL recap every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 plus here on the Hard Rocket Sports Channel. So, guys, we're going to wrap this one up. Jeff, you did a great job as usual, my brother. It's, it's real fun to do this two times a week with you.
Yeah, it is, dude. And the Tuesday night show was so easy to do because – but we're just having fun with it. You know what I mean? We're just talking on the phone for an hour or so about what happened in some of these football games. So it's pretty cool. No pressure.
Absolutely, guys. So let's come on back next Tuesday night from 7 to 8 where we will recap week 10 of the NFL. Don't forget Friday night, Jeff and I and our good friend Paul Gill will be on Staten Island for a little wrestling event. So if you're out there, you want to join us for a beer or a burger, let us know. And I got some news about the Kiss concerts coming up on Thursday night. We're going to see Kiss. The reluctant Jeff Talwinski will be going for a fact-finding mission strictly, but we're all going to see Kiss, so I'm looking forward to that. But we're going to have to wrap this edition up, and we'll get back to more on Kiss and Hard Rocket Sports and everything else on Thursday night. But, Jeff, even though we're going to end the show now, we can't officially end it until something happens. You know what that something might be.
Oh, yes.
Here it comes.
Stage is that moose, you know.
And so when you're playing, you feel like a preserved moose on stage.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. As the time ticks, I hope everybody got out there and voted. I'm going to go watch a lot of election coverage and hope for the best. But either way, you know, guys, you got to participate. It's like playing sports. If you don't try, if you don't get involved, you can't win. So hopefully you guys did the right thing. And you voted, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, just get out and vote. Make your voice heard. But for Jeff Towinski, myself, Nick Marino, and everybody here at Hard Rocket Sports, I want to thank everybody for listening and participating. And I'm hoping you guys come on back not only tomorrow and Thursday, but come on back again next Tuesday for the NFL Recap Show. Jeff, great job, bro. I love doing this with you. Have a great night. We'll talk tomorrow, and we'll be back on the air in 2 days.
All right, dude, you have a good night, and I will talk to you. You said you had a question. Do you want to call me when you get off the air or what?
Yeah, I'm going to call you real quick when I hang up the show. So, guys, have a good night. Have a safe trip, and good luck to everybody out there who's running for office. Thank you for doing it. F.A., have a great night, pal.
All right, you got it. Later, dude.
Later, dude.